Mini episode 543 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by the Pullins Group, delivering public affairs consulting and marketing services for small businesses trying to grow. Follow them on the web at PullinsGroup.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hi there, folks. It's the FDH Lounge. Rick Morris and Kyle Ross, your football talking FDH Lounge dignitaries. We've been breaking down the NFL, going division by division, looking back at 2014 and the first look ahead to 2015. We are up now to the less than vaunted NFC South, the worst division in football, not just last year, but for many years. You got to go back to the depths of the NFC West in about 2010 or so. The good news for the NFC South collectively is you look at what's happened to the NFC West since then, best division in football by far. Methinks the South doesn't have that to look forward to in the very near future, at least. But I know you, Kyle, more so than me, are looking for a decent amount of improvement almost across the board in 2015.
Yeah, I could make a case that all four of these teams will see improvement in their win total next year. I said that about the North going into last year.
Yep.
Three of the four improved their win total. Chicago did not. Obviously, they actually got worse. But I agree. Look, there's no debating. This was the worst division in the league. In non-division games, the record was just awful. But the interesting thing, and you know I always talk about this every year, is that for the first time in history, we had a repeat winner in the NFC South. And it was the Carolina Panthers, who we all agreed on were a clear regression candidate coming into the year.
Yep.
They did regress, and they still won the division because everyone was just so bad.
Yep.
It's hard to remember. It's easy to forget, I should say, or hard to remember, that at one point Carolina was 3-8-1.
Right.
And I had, you know, they were one of my top under bets, under 8.5. So I was already assured to win.
Right.
With 4 weeks to go. And then they improbably won out and took the division. You know, there's still some holes on this roster, obviously. I like Cam Newton more than most people. I don't like Ron Rivera that much. I thought that his Riverboat Ron thing was overblown. I thought he was just making smart decisions, not risky ones.
I kind of agree.
They had two wins over bad teams down the stretch, though, Tampa Bay and Cleveland.
Right.
And, I mean, you could really call Atlanta a bad team.
Yeah.
And they beat them, too. But they did see a big decline in their win total from 12 to 7.
Yep.
So either it plateaus or gets a little better next year. Carolina. So it's funny, whereas I was a real anti-Carolina guy this year, got my bet, and they still somehow won the division, I think, which is just so weird, I think that they proved, you know, they weren't as bad as they played early on, but they probably aren't as good as they were the previous year or how they were down the stretch. This is a 500-ish team. Not a lot of talent on offense around Cam Newton.
Oh, skill positions are horrible. I mean, outside of Benjamin.
Benjamin's, you know, though, good. He got off to a pretty good start, but I don't think he was that great down the stretch, Kelvin Benjamin.
That is funny that you would say that, because there's a statistic that I want to bring up.
Okay, I thought you were about ready to tell me that my life was in danger based on the way you looked.
No. I
said five wins, by the way, before the year for Carolina, which again looked real good when they were 3-8-1.
Right. That is really the case. And again, when you look at what Carolina has done, it is very unfortunate for them that they have this ironclad rule in place that you must have a number one wide receiver. It was previously Steve Smith. But there can never be anybody else other than that on the roster worth throwing to. They get rid of Steve Smith.
They had a bad contract situation from the old GM.
Oh, they did.
They're starting to clean that up a little bit.
They did. They're paying like $100 million to a backfield that really blows, you know, completely. So that is, although Jonathan Stewart, again, down the stretch, showed what he can do somewhat there, and that's kind of encouraging. But The stat about Benjamin that is really discouraging, I think, for any Carolina fans out there. One of the things I'm looking at, I'm already doing some of the early fantasy football work for 2015 for fantasydrafthelp.com. I think a lot of this crap, one of the biggest hipster things out there is to talk about targets, OMG targets. Oh, he had 14 targets last week. Well, generally the top receivers are going to have that. It's not that it's not worth looking at, but
it's
worth looking at. But the real hacks of the business, and they know who they are. They're the ones who overemphasize it. What I do think is interesting. I came up with a metric here of targets divided by receptions. I wanted to modify it because I think that's interesting. And
you're right. That's what the great people use it for. You have to compare targets to receptions. Yeah, if you're just like, yeah.
Yes. Well, here's the thing. I'll be honest with you. I had no frame of reference when I went into it of what the real top ones were going to be. But the really good ones are in the mid to high 60%, 70% even. Kelvin Benjamin was 50% on the nose. He had a lot of targets.
I told people this. Who like don't like Cam Newton, like, oh, he's got Kelvin Benjamin. I'm like,
well,
Greg Olsen's a good tight end. I'll say that. Greg Olsen's a good tight end.
Well, here's the thing, and I'm looking at his receptions. He had 73 receptions. My rudimentary grasp of math tells me that's out of 146 targets. That ain't so great, Kyle Ross. I don't care that he's got nobody else out there other than Olsen at tight end to perform any kind of service to take the heat off of him here. That's pretty bad. 50%. When you're looking at what the other top guys do, is pretty bad. Carolina, and I've been told subsequently, I said this late in the year, that this was too much of a sort of an inside bowling reference. But for any of the scratch bowlers out there, they'll get that. They had the weirdest season that I can ever think of. It reminds me of, go out there, bowl 226, the second game's like 127, and the third game's 225. I've never seen a donut hole season like they had, especially that ends in the playoffs. If at the height of that, or I guess it would be depths, rather.
They won a playoff game, too.
And they won a playoff game.
Because they were matched up. I mean, it was a very unique matchup against Arizona.
They had the third
bye. Two of the real crappiest playoff teams I've ever seen.
Yes, they had the third bye. But it was a thing where, really, to imagine that they would rebound in such a way to even make the playoffs is extraordinary. Ron Rivera deserves credit for that. You're talking about
he was in trouble probably when that team was 3-8-1.
He was. Again, we remember
Jerry Richardson looks like a guy who probably shares your political persuasions.
He might on a lot of issues. Ron Rivera is somebody that, again, for any of the criticisms you may have about him about offensive decision making, again, we must remember a defensive mind
and
a very good one.
Yeah, we always talk about that front seven and early on they were struggling. They got pretty good at the end of the year. We saw kind of the old Panthers front seven. I still have concerns over their secondary. I see this team being .500. I don't see this team declining. They impressed me how they righted the ship, and I see them as a .500 team.
Well, in fairness to what they had last year, there's a big – sort of the same as Indianapolis.
The first-place schedule, although doesn't help, really, because they have to play Seattle and Green Bay.
Indianapolis missed Robert Mathis because of first the suspension and then the injury to put him out for the year. For Carolina, I think there's a big difference between Greg Hardy being out there having his aggression turned loose on opposing offenses versus on defensive helpless women. So this is a situation where they may get him back next year. That
Should
will
they
definitely
bring him
help.
Back?
Well, he's going to play somewhere.
Okay,
The realpolitik is he's going to go somewhere. To imagine that he doesn't have goodwill with that fan base is, I think, to give much too much credit. And I don't even know much about the Carolina fan base, but for any team. And I understand the Ravens fan base, I guess, is worse than most. But the way that they circled their wagons for Ray Rice.
Oh, that was hideous.
Oh, my God.
That was a low point in America.
Oh, that was. That was. And the Ravens Twitter account during the press conference with Jhené Rice talking about how Jhené Rice took blame for her share of what happened. Never change Baltimore Ravens front office. But anyways, the Carolina fan base, I suppose, is not going to have any kind of extra animus.
No, your most fan base is, the guy's good, we want him back.
Exactly. I think that's what it's going to be.
Yeah.
I look for them right around .500. I mean,
that's
I don't disagree with you on that one there. Again,
let's talk about a team that underachieved our projection and really everyone's projection this year.
Yeah.
And missed the playoffs. The New Orleans Saints went 7-9. I said 10-6 before the year.
I said 11-5.
And the shocker here was they went 3-5 at home, including losing their final five home games after not losing a home game with Sean Payton on the sidelines since 2010. Now, granted, that's kind of a goofy stat because you have to skip the year he was suspended. But what do we think? Has this team's window closed?
Well, first of
all,
are
they just not the consistent dominant team that like a Green Bay is? Where are they? Is it somewhere in between?
The answer is yes and no. Let me address about the home field thing here, because I am a big believer in any realm of looking at any of these matters in sports, law of averages, and that when the rubber band snaps back, it snaps back violently. Now, I'm the same putz that late in the year kept picking New Orleans in critical situations to turn it around and win at home. But looking back on it now and the way that you framed it, five in a row after this endless streak, minus the Sean
Payton
suspension year.
That's the way it works. We talked about with the Colts when we did our AFC South thing. Their ridiculous record in one-score games with Andrew Luck. There's going to be a year where it just all goes wrong.
Yeah. The rubber band is going to snap back.
I like
and
that analogy.
That's exactly what it is. Regression and progression to the mean. One of my fundamental things, whether I'm talking fantasy sports or anything else. New Orleans, look, the sun has set on them. But they're in a
As
a championship contender.
I think they can be a playoff team still.
Yeah, because of the division. The division sucks. They're in the worst division in football. I can't rule them out next year. But that's what we're talking about, right? They had been an elite team, a Super Bowl winner a couple of years back. They're not that team, and they're not going to be that team again.
The defense has fluctuated so wildly.
Well, and that, because you talked about it before, and it was an excellent point about what Detroit or what Dallas was and what Chicago is. These teams that have the skill position power but a lot of holes elsewhere. New Orleans and again not very efficient signings. The secondary was supposed to get
better. They're in salary cap hell.
They're in salary cap hell, and part of it too. Look, and you've kind of grimaced when I've said this before. I'm going to say this again. I don't give a crap. Drew Brees. There comes a point in time when you are faced with, in a salary cap sport, the whole thing. And it was the same thing with Kobe Bryant with the Lakers. I don't care. I'm going to get mine. You're either going to get yours at all costs, or you're going to try and keep it together. They lost Carl Nix to Tampa Bay, which, again, it's not like he's led them to five Super Bowls in a row. But it was a thing where it was like, I don't care. I'm going to get mine. Pay me.
Like Drew Brees, do you?
No. I'm basically okay with Drew Brees, but I'm okay with him personally. But the whole thing of like people ignore that it's the same mentality as the mob boss. F you, pay me. F you, pay like from Goodfellas.
Yep.
He's basically a mob boss in Goodfellas.
He's the Ray Liotta of the NFL.
I'm not saying he's killed anybody.
Are they the same height, Drew Brees and Ray Liotta?
Might be. You know, they're in cap hell because he helped put them there.
Yeah.
And that's why.
And the bad and the inefficient. I mean, the Jarius Bird signing. Holy.
The Jarius Bird signing was not good. And Rob Ryan.
Who was the other veteran cornerback they brought in from Denver? The veteran that.
You're putting me on the spot here. I'll bring
Champ
this
Bailey.
Up. Champ Bailey. Yeah.
Champ Bailey.
Oh, that didn't work out.
Yeah.
That didn't work out either. Are they a team that can rally to win the division?
Do you like them more than Carolina next year?
I like them about the same.
I like them a little. I think they could be 9-7. Here's the thing.
I'm going to say 8-8. I think they have too much offensive firepower to, again, be a losing team. But
they're probably not going to have a losing home record again. They may not just start. They're not going to just automatically bounce back to 8-0.
Right.
But they should have a winning home record. They also had the second worst turnover ratio in the league ahead of only Oakland.
Right.
So I could see them bouncing ahead of Carolina into second place.
Well, also, too, and you said we were going to talk about this when we talked about divisions with the AFC South. They play the AFC South next year, which I know you have said is going to be a boon for them.
They also
get the NFC East, which will present some opportunities.
Yeah, the NFC South will not be as bad as it was this year, just because it can't be.
No.
I think
it'll still be the worst division, though.
I think you might be surprised. So the Atlanta Falcons, Rick Morris.
Yeah.
I was actually more bullish on them than I think you were coming into this year, and I paid for it. I picked them to go 9-7. They only went 6-10.
I said 8-8. I wasn't far back.
Okay, but I thought they could be a playoff team. They had it all in front of them, a home game against Carolina the week 17, and they just got trounced.
Yeah.
Mike Smith, I'm sorry, he deserved to go. He had some real dog performances on the side.
And I understand maybe
it's very rare that you can point to several games in a year that and say your coach lost you that one. There were a couple for Mike Smith this year. The Cleveland game was awful.
Yes.
The Detroit game in London was awful. So, I mean, I think it's funny. We just talked about New Orleans. Have they peaked? We both, I think they're on the downside of the Drew Brees era. But,
right.
You know, they're certainly not near the nadir. It's not right. Ready to blow things up. I think Atlanta, new coach now, Dan Quinn.
Yep.
Who we've talked off air. I think he's going to find out like a Gus Bradley did in Jacksonville. He's going to look around and say, oh, my God, where's Richard Sherman and Earl Thomas? Because Atlanta's defense is horrible. I think that this thing around Matt Ryan needs to be just completely blown up. I do not like this team. This is, spoiler alert, this is the one team I do not like in the division to necessarily improve next year, and I'll tell you why. Here's what's interesting. Atlanta was the only team in the NFL last year to have the best record in the division. So they were 5-1 in the division, best record among NFC South teams. They did not win the division.
Right.
Work with me here. The first place team in every other division either had the best or was tied for the best division record.
Okay.
They really blew it. They were 1-9 outside the division, which leads you to believe if it wasn't for this crappy division, things could have been real bad here. I watched this team a lot. Man, they aren't good. Other than Matt Ryan and Julio Jones, there's nothing here. Like, they're worse. They're in worse shape than, like, the Bears. Remember we were talking about in the NFC North with the Bears? All right, they have this horrible defense, but we were like, how the hell can you be that bad with that kind of skill position talent? The Bears' skill position talent's better than the Falcons.
Well, it is. It is. But I'm going to say this, though, and about Mike Smith. Two things in his defense here. One, first of all, and I understand, you know, you may come back at me with my, you know, one of my favorite sayings here, the taller than Mickey Rooney award, but the best coach in Atlanta team history. Nobody else had the success of multiple playoff appearances.
No, he didn't. He had a nice, but I mean, you know, look, I was really critical, maybe overly critical of Atlanta when they were in their peak years, whatever that means.
Yeah.
Because I thought they were an overachiever when they were the number one seed, and they proved that. This was a team that had one playoff win, and it was a lucky playoff win over Seattle where everyone admitted, wow.
As recently as 2012, they got past Seattle to make the NFC Championship game. So, there you go.
They had a fortunate regular season.
They did.
I don't know. I just think that this team, look, Matt Ryan is a guy you can't part ways with him.
No.
But they did a lot of win-now stuff during that era, you know, with trading up to get Julio Jones. And they didn't. It didn't pay off.
No. And that's true.
And that's a problem because it kills your depth, and this team has no depth.
It does. They have no depth. Well, let me go back to this then. I think you may be contradicting yourself. If there's not
I
much
do that a lot.
Okay. If there's not much, and I am great at being really anal and trying to catch people in contradictory things
here.
Yeah,
I know. That's annoying.
Okay.
That's why you spent 8 years combing for Bill Clinton 1970s quotes, right?
Yeah. There you go. If the entire roster is just Matt Ryan and Julio Jones, shouldn't Mike Smith have gotten Coach of the Year for getting within a game of the playoffs? They should have been 2-14 if that's all they have.
No. He single-handedly lost two games for him. If I was the coach, they would have been 8-8.
But didn't he coach them above the talent level you're saying is on the roster? If they're that bereft of talent, if they're that bereft of talent, they still outkick their coverage, Kyle. You can't have it both ways. Either he cost them.
They were
them.
In playoff position because of the division. They weren't in playoff position because they were good.
Okay. But still.
Oh, look. Oh, here's the thing. Okay. To your point.
Yeah.
If they had beaten Carolina in week 17.
Yeah.
And didn't get annihilated then in the wild card game, yeah. and they would have played at Arizona
yeah.
at home, a team yeah. they had beaten already at home.
And would have beaten them again.
Mike Smith is probably still the coach.
Probably still.
But you have to understand, you can see why he was fired, right?
I'm not super enamored of the rest of the roster. I'm not quite as down on it as you are. This is the only...
Do you agree with Mike Smith being fired?
Reluctantly, I do. Reluctantly, I do because, again, I think a lot of Dan Quinn. I think he's an upgrade. Kyle Shanahan, with what he's going to do getting this out of the offense, again, and I have already said, I think Kyle Shanahan, personally, is questionable at best based on his time in Cleveland and in Washington, but the guy tends to get results, at least initially.
And he's not going to have to run a gimmicky offense here because he's got a real quarterback.
Offense. It'll be straight up. He's got one of the best receivers in the league in Julio Jones.
I just don't see what else this team has.
Yeah, between Harry Douglas and Roddy White, they present something.
Okay, I mean
outside of quarterback
to receiver.
Yeah.
Their offensive line stinks. They don't have a good running back.
Defensively,
they have no pass rush. And they could get shut out of it's interesting to see at the top of the draft where they're at.
Yeah.
They really better hope one of those top pass rushers with some of that, because there's a lot of good front seven talent.
Right.
Like a Randy Gregory,
right.
Shane Ray out of Missouri.
Right.
But those guys could all be gone. Leonard Williams at USC. Those guys could all be gone by the time they pick. And, you know, they missed out last year, too. And
I do not believe they're in cap hell, though. So they may be able to tinker
they
bring, around.
Well, they haven't made the most efficient signings either. We talked about it with New Orleans. I mean,
That's true. I off the top of my head, I don't think they're in as bad.
Have you ever watched
an
Atlanta Falcons game before?
Yeah,
of course
yeah,
you have.
Yeah,
there have been times that I've been sitting there. I'm like, do they have linebackers out there on the field?
Yeah, I can understand that, but one way or another, I don't think you'll be questioning that with Dan Quinn as coach. I think there's going to be some coach him up stuff going. Look at who he coached under. And, again, I expect them to address that in the offseason. This is my first and only gutless pick in going through all of these things here with an asterisk.
Oh, I made a
I'll
lot of gutless
I'll say Atlanta pick. With an asterisk to win the division at 8-8 based on what they do in the offseason.
Wow!
I reserve the right. Well, they weren't far off 8-8 last year, so... Again,
I think they stay at 6-10.
Well, you said Mike Smith cost them two games last year. I'm saying with Dan Quinn, get those two games plus the others.
I don't know if I'm as big on Dan Quinn as you are.
I think he's a very good coach. I think it's going to prove it here. The funny thing is, a year ago, I was more hyped on him than Mike Pettine. They were the two finalists for the Browns job. In the end, I wanted Pettin because the Browns have ping-ponged so much between 4-3, 3-4, 4-3, 3-4, and Quinn, with his specialty being 4-3, it meant you were going to take another 2 years turning over the Browns' defense, and in 2 years, Dan Quinn would be fired because that's how it goes. You turn over the defense to get your guys, and then you get fired. So I think a lot of him, but that's three teams thus far I've said could be right around 8-8. So this is sort of like a year ago when I picked Washington in the NFC East. In a bad division, I'm saying nobody gets above 8-8 and somebody wins the division there, and there may be more than one team, more than two, more than one team, more than two teams at 8-8. Could be.
Have you noticed I have not said yet, I think this team will win the division in regards to our first three contestants in the NFC South?
There is a member of the 21st Century Media Alliance who, as he is listening to this, Jeff Briscoe, down in Southwest Florida, who is doing jumping jacks right now, listening to your take and what is about to come.
Well, I haven't given it yet, but I'm about to.
I'm teasing it.
As always, I reserve the right to change this. But I really think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are winning this division next year and will be the most improved team. First of all, they have the coveted number one spot.
Okay.
Those teams always make big jump ups.
Yeah.
And now, let's put aside for a second the draft.
Okay.
They're going to take a quarterback. It's going to be Winston or Mariota, right?
Okay.
So, and that'll be an upgrade over what they had, in my opinion. But let me tell you about a few things that aren't going to happen for Tampa Bay next year. I thought Lovie Smith, by the way, I don't know what the hell happened, but he did not do a good job in year one.
No, he didn't.
And it was kind of that you talk about, with what you got and stuff. And it seemed a little bit that he was trying to figure out what he had and he didn't really like it. And Tampa Bay went 0-8 at home last year.
Yep.
They were the only team that didn't win a home game. They're not going to go 0-8 at home next year.
I think that was a hangover from their MRSA epidemic.
They went 0-6 in the division last year.
Yeah.
They are not going to go 0-6 in the division.
How do you go 0-6 in the worst division in the history of football? Man.
They are not going to go a league worst 1-9 in games decided by 8 points or less.
Oh, okay.
So right off the bat, this team is going to progress to about 500, I think.
500?
Even not by doing anything. The icing on the cake will then be, it is my hope, that they select Jameis Winston, number one overall, and he, in his rookie year, will lead this team to win the division.
Oh, they
had this team. I've always said this team. Remember what have I always said about Tampa when I complain? I'm like, you know, most franchises have an identifiable player.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we've talked a lot. Most of the time it's quarterback, right? But
yeah.
Even so, it's not always quarterback. And we've always said with Tampa Bay, who the hell is their identifiable player? They've got some good talent, Lavonte David, Gerald McCoy.
Mm-hmm.
I like their receivers, Tampa Bay.
Can we still say Rondé Barber?
Warren Sapp? I don't know.
Yeah.
Can we solicit Warren Sapp? Can we solicit Warren Sapp for a minute?
Oh!
I think, and you're going to laugh at this, because look, he's a knucklehead. I'm not going to dispute that.
Uh-huh.
I think Jameis Winston can just totally transform this franchise. And
if everything goes well, yeah.
And I'm not saying that if they pick Mariota, they don't improve too, but I the more I think about it, with his skill set and the receivers they have on this team, and who knows, Safarin Jenkins, who's a knucklehead, the tight end.
Yeah.
He could be untapped potential.
Yeah, he should.
I really think that this, there is no doubt in my mind.
Okay.
Okay, maybe I back off at some point in August from saying they win the division. I don't think
right.
I'm going to. I really do. I think but there is no doubt in my mind that this is the most improved team in the league next
well,
year.
Well, one of the things that they're going to have to do is purge themselves at the running back spot of the guy known in Northeast Ohio as Doug Martin Superstore, because we've pretty much seen that his career was at this point is just the fluke of a couple of hot games that he strung together. So they got to do something about that. They need to upgrade defensively. Look, I'll put them in about the 6 or 7 win range based on some of the factors you talked about and based on, again, I think not just 1 year, but the last 2 years, they have woefully underperformed the talent level on the roster. That's due to turnaround.
Yes.
If for no other reason than that. But, yeah.
I don't know how many wins I'm going to call for. 10.
10?
Yes. 10 wins for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Wow. Well, you know, I
10 wins for Tampa Bay.
I'm the team that said it's almost a coin flip for Minnesota to make
a big
wild card.
I'm going to be a big Tampa Bay Bucs fan next year.
Wow.
In the classic Kyle Ross, I'm rooting for my opinion. I look for me to watch a lot of Tampa Bay. You know what? People mocked me in 2010, a year that, by the way, when I had to do my homework for the upcoming season, I had very limited access, thank you very much,
yes,
to resources.
Do-do-do-do.
And I said that Tampa Bay would be a huge improvement. And everyone's like, Tampa Bay, what do they have?
Uh-huh.
They went 10-6 that year. Didn't make the playoffs, and that was for your boy Raheem Statzer for losers Morris. But I think this team could be better than that one and win a division that is absolutely up for grabs.
It is there for the taking with all of these teams. No question about it. I don't think it's there for the taking of Tampa Bay, but we shall see. So that's our pick on the NFC South for this year. Kyle Ross with his customary big balls picking Tampa. I am picking Atlanta with the asterisk of wanting to see what happens in the offseason. We shall see how it plays out.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Aquafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.